How's everybody? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Baptism's coming up. How many, anybody in the house wants to be baptized? Anybody want to get baptized? Hallelujah. We're going to fill up a little tank here in the sanctuary. We're going to add water. Add you. And when you come out, praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm excited. So if anybody wants to be baptized, let me know. Okay? I'd like to talk to you. I'd like to tell you about what it's about. Hallelujah. Sometimes when it's happening, somebody that's watching might just get this great urge or unction or just this desire to say, hey, you know what? I want to do it again. Is that all right? Is it okay to do it again? Amen. You can. I mean, how many times can you be baptized in water? Does it say in the scriptures? Yeah, I haven't found it. So everybody bring your towel. Amen. Hallelujah. Let us know though, okay? I'm excited about it. I was at a church where every Sunday morning they are baptizing new people. Isn't that okay? Isn't that crazy? God's doing some stuff, folks. Amen? I want to get in on it. Amen? I want to get in on the move of God. And I believe this is the move of God right here. I believe it. Do you know what I mean? Let me say amen to that. Amen. Hallelujah. Help me out today, man. You know what? Say amen if I say something you agree with, say, yeah, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, the Word of God says by two or three witnesses, everything will be established. If you agree concerning anything, my Father which is in heaven, the Bible says He will do it. Hallelujah. According to the will of my Father. And I'm going to tell you something. I believe it's the will of my Father to see people in this city saved. See people born again, baptized, hallelujah, baptized in the Holy Ghost. Come on, hallelujah. I believe it. Hallelujah. And I believe God's going to do it. Amen. Woo. How many sense the presence of God in the house this morning? Man, I'm going to tell you something. He's God when two of you, He says, there am I in the midst. Is that right?
Amen.
Amen. Here I am. He's here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many came in ready to receive from God? Is that right? Raise your hand if you're ready to receive from God. Raise both hands if you want a double portion from God this morning. Hallelujah. I'll tell you something. You know, it's important that we come in prepared. Is that right? Prepared to receive. I've got to try to be prepared to give the word, but I mean, I'm going to tell you something. We need to make sure that when we come in, we're prepared to receive. Hallelujah. How many like receiving God's word?
Amen.
Amen. It's good to receive God's word. Amen. Hallelujah. But also there's something else that we need to remember that we need to do is respond to God's word. Hey, Brother Hector, how are you? Yeah. God bless you. We need to respond to God's word. Amen. Receive and respond. It's a good way to do it. Amen. You can sit in your house all day long, watch all the Trinity block, all the Christian TV you and receive, receive, and receive, but are you responding to what you're receiving? Amen? Come on, man. Talking to you. Are you responding to the things that you're receiving from God? God is saying, hey, today's the day. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You guys remember what we preached on last Sunday? Does anybody remember? Okay. Cool, it's all right. Yeah, it's all right. Hallelujah. All right. How many of you were asleep last Sunday? Raise your hand. Amen. Praise God. Been preaching on this. I mean, this is the year to build. Amen. I've been kind of going over things, went over the foundation, went over the plans. The first thing we went over was plans. Second thing we went over was foundation. And in laying the foundation, there's some tools that God has given us in laying the foundation. The foundation that He's talking about is the foundation of Christ coming into your heart. The temple is a great picture of what God is doing, was doing in there, but He's actually wanting to dwell in our hearts. Some of you know that. Amen? Hallelujah. He says, I want to dwell with them, live in them, walk with them, talk with them. Amen. How many of you had a good talk with Jesus this week? Amen? Praise God. Good talk with Jesus. Last week we talked about the tools, some of the tools to build. And righteousness was the tool, was the plumb bob. You guys remember that? Let me pull out my custom plumb bob that the guys called me out on. They said, that's not a plum bomb. There it is. It's a nice thing, isn't that right, Brother Gary? Where's Brother Gary? That's the plum bomb. Reaching from heaven down to the believer. Is that right? Is that okay? In your heart, a plumb line of correctness, uprightness. Amen? That's what we talked about last week. Talked about that has to be in our lives. So I want to ask you, if we could, let's just go to Isaiah 28. We're going to look at verses 16 and 17. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isaiah 28, verses 16 and 17. Isaiah 28, 16 and 17 says this. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believes shall not make haste. And verse 17 says, judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet. And hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies. Isn't that nice? Don't you think it's good that the water of God, the hail that falls from heaven, would sweep away any lies, any untruths? And that, don't you think that's good? I think that's beautiful. That the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place. I mean, I just see so much in these last two scriptures where the waters overflow the hiding place, washing out the things that are not of God and allowing the things that are of God to come in and find place in your heart. I think that's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful scripture. But what I want to talk about is the first part where it says, judgment will I lay to the line. Let's pray. Father, I thank you this morning. And Father, as we speak this morning concerning judgment, Father, I ask you, Father God, that you would, by your Holy Spirit, Father, take this word, Lord, and apply it to our hearts, Father. Let us find something that you're speaking to us today about this, Father. We thank you for it, God. We praise you for it. If you agree, say amen. 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 Say, speak to me, Lord. I'm a little weak. Say it again. Speak to me, Lord. And one more time. Speak to me, Lord. Come on. Lord, talk to me. Hallelujah. We've got a little track around the back of my house that we walk. And Lord, I'll get out there on that track and say, God, you got to say something. Say something to me, Lord. Hallelujah. Give me something fresh. Give me something new. Give me something that tells me about you. Amen. Come on, Lord. I'm listening. Hallelujah. How many know you got to prepare yourself? Yeah. Did I say that already? Okay. He's repeating himself again. Praise God. Hallelujah. John chapter 16, verses 7 through 11. Let's go to that. We're going to talk about that judgment. Judgment being the line. Amen. I'm going to ask Brother Greg and Gary, can I get you to come up here? Just for a second. I'm sorry, guys. Nothing like a little pre-notice. Amen. Hallelujah. You know how to do this, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you guys stretch me a line across these blocks right here? Yeah. I don't know who to give that to. There you go. Hallelujah. While they're doing that, I want to talk to you a little about this judgment. The Bible talks about this judgment being the line and righteousness being the plumb line. And so, it's very important, like I said last week, that righteousness be established first. Is that right? Is that okay? The righteousness, which is your connection with God, needs to be established first. That's why you must be born again. Is that good? You must be born again. You must establish this line between you and God first. It is in this line here where God begins to talk to you about who you are. Amen? Yeah, that's kind of weak. That's okay. Anybody awake? Or you guys just watching the carpenters up front? Yeah, that's okay. That's all right. But I am going to go to John. Oh, it doesn't want to stay. It won't stay. John 16. I'm sorry. Verses 7 through 11. The Word of God says this. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come to you. Who is the Comforter? The Holy Spirit. If I depart, I will send him to you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of what? Judgment. You see that word judgment? Hallelujah. It says, verse 9 says, of sin because they believe not on me. You must be born again. You start believing on Jesus, and then he begins to reprove you of righteousness. He begins to talk to you about who you are in Christ and what he's trying to do with you, how he's trying to clean you up. Get those things out of you. Everybody say, get it out, God. Get it out, God. Lord, if whatever it is, get it out of me. Amen. Anything that's contrary to you, God, get it out of me. Amen. I'll tell you what. That's something I say, God, if it's not of you, I don't want it. And so, Lord, if it's there, show me how to get it out. Teach me how to speak to it so it does come out. Amen? Hallelujah. And he says this. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to the Father and you see me no more. And then he says of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. Let me just tell you, this string, it won't stay. It won't stay by itself. Yeah. Will it turn it? Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, just leave it like that. If it comes out, it might even be better for the thing. Hallelujah. That's good. Praise God. So here we have judgment, and here, I want you to step on this platform, see if it doesn't come apart. And I don't know if you can see this. I'm going to try to put it somewhere over here. You will see that God is creating a cross for you. Is that right? Is that okay? God has created a cross. First you have righteousness, and then judgment stretches out to the side, okay? We want to talk about judgment because judgment is very important to us. It's very, very important that we understand that God has given us the Spirit, not only to wash us and clean us, not only to purify us and cause us to be like Christ, but so that we can help others. How many of you know the Bible says, judge not? Is that right? And you shall not be judged. Is that right? Is that right? So, I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 7. I'm going to read these scriptures because we're going to put these right out front. Because sometimes we'll stand on a scripture, sometimes not realizing what it's really telling us. Is that okay? You know, how many of you know this? A lot of times it's good to read around a scripture. Is that right? That's why it's good to read your Bible and get that thing. You know, I mean, try not to take things out of context. Is that right? Try not, you know. So here it says right here, it says, did I say John 5? I'm sorry, Matthew. Yeah, Matthew 7. Judge not, and that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged, and with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. You see that? It would seem that the Word of God is telling us, do not judge, doesn't it? It says, don't judge. Just hold it right there. But remember we read in John, it says the Holy Spirit has come for three things. Number one, for sin, righteousness, and for judgment. So here it says, is the Word of God contradicting itself? It never contradicts itself. Never does the Word of God contradict itself. Jesus would not contradict his own word. It would make him appear to be confusing. Is that right? And I'm going to tell you right now, God is not confused. Oh, don't get me going down that road. God's not confused, folks. Most of the time, if there's any confusion happening, it's on our side. Amen? That's why it's important that we stay in the Word of God. Because it will clear itself up. Hallelujah. Sometimes we listen to people. Sometimes we'll listen to pastor. Say, well, the pastor says this. No, you know what? It's not, these are my convictions. You're going to have to get your own convictions. Is that right? You're going to have to learn what God is saying to you personally. So that's why you have to stay in the Word of God. That's why you have to look at the book. Amen? You can say amen. It's okay.
Amen.
Amen. Look at the book. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Well, it said, so I want to move on. Verse 3 says, why behold the mote that is in your brother's eye, but consider not the beam that is in your own eye? Or how will you say to your brother, let me pull the mote out of your eye, and behold, a beam is in your own eye? You hypocrite. I like that part. I don't know why. But you hypocrite. First cast the beam out of your own eye, and then you shall see clearly to cast the mote out of your brother's eye. I don't wanna... Hallelujah. God is saying something here, and he's talking about, listen to me, he's talking about judging, a correct way to judge. Is that okay? When he said, when you're looking at that toothpick that's in your brother's eye, you got to consider that there might be a telephone pole sticking in your eye. Is that all right? Is that okay? And God is saying, hey, man, I mean, let me just show you how to judge. Everything that we receive from God has to come through God. How many of you know that? You know that we said this last week, that all things are of God. Is that right? That we are, I mean, old things are passed away, new things become brand new, and then it says, all things are of God. Everything that comes to you comes through God. And everything that he's talking about, when considering judgment, it's got to come through the avenue of God. Is that okay? Hallelujah. Does that make good spiritual sense? Do you know that we have a habit of judging before we hear? Do you know that we can do that? And this is what he's kind of addressing. And he's saying, hey, look, you got a brother with a toothpick in his eye? I tell you what, let's first work on that telephone pole that's in your eye. Because if there's a telephone pole in your eye, you're not going to be able to see clearly to help your brother get the toothpick out of your eye. So basically what these scriptures are telling me, that God wants us to help our brothers. But there's a way to help them. There is a way to walk in which God will say, hey man, I will speak to you. Is that okay? Hallelujah. Glory to God. What I want to do now is I just want to take you in the Old Testament, if you would, let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 17, verses 8. I'm going to look at verses 8 through 13. And I just want to show you this, because what I'm showing you is that just to let you, just to kind of place this in your mind, that yes, God does want us walking in judgment. He wants us to be able to help folks. Is that right? And folks, I want to tell you something. You being a Christian, you got to hear this, and I'm not trying to hurt anybody. You being a Christian, somebody has needs and somebody has all these issues that need to be worked out. I'm going to say, if you're going to try, even sit down and try to work with them, you need to hear God. Your thoughts and your own perspective of what might be going on isn't going to do them any good. Can I tell you that? You just can't step into that arena without not hearing from the Holy Spirit, not hearing from God. Is that okay? We have to, and sometimes, just to make ourselves look good, we'll try to step in those arenas. Just because we want to look good, and just say, well, I'm a Christian, I could understand, I don't know. And you know, but if you don't pray, there is only one counselor. Do you know that? His name shall be called Mighty. Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And then his name is the Everlasting Counselor. He's a counselor. And folks, he's saying, I've sent you my spirit. Speak to him, talk to him, ask him, and see what happens. Amen? Hallelujah. Because it is in the scriptures where men sometimes get tied up in things. Is that right? We get all tied up and we don't know what to do. We don't have an answer. And I want you to read this in verse 8. It says this: if there arise a matter too hard for you in what? In judgment. If there arise a matter too hard for you in judgment, between blood and blood, between plea and plea, between stroke and stroke, being matters of controversy within your gates, then shall you arise and get you up to the place where the Lord God shall choose. Thou shalt come under the priests, the Levites. Old Testament, amen? You shall come to the priests, the Levites, and to the judge that shall be in those days, and inquire, and they shall show thee the sentence of judgment. You see that? He will tell you the sentence of judgment. What does that mean? Basically, easy words. Just he's going to give you words. He's going to speak to you. This is what God says. This is the sentence. Boom. And he says this: and thou shalt do according to the sentence which they of that place, which the Lord shall choose, shall show you. And thou shalt observe to do according to all that they inform you. You hear that? Sometimes we want to pick and choose of what we want to hear. Is that right? And sometimes we want to do only what we want to do. And we will refuse, even if the Holy Spirit is saying something to us, because it's not something that we like. Folks, oh man, don't get mad at me, okay? Hey, you guys are looking at me very serious. And I'm going to tell you, man, I mean, this is good for us. Just sometimes the God will say things. So there will be some situations that we step into, and we don't like that answer, and we know it's God. Sometimes we'll refuse it. And folks, I'm going to tell you something, that's a very dangerous position to place yourself. It really is. See that you observe to do according to all that they inform you. Verse 11 says, according to the sentence of the law which they shall teach you, according to the judgments which they shall tell you, thou shalt do, and thou shalt not decline from the sentence which they shall show you, to the right hand or to the left. And the man that will do presumptuously and will not hearken to the priest that stands to minister there before the Lord thy God, or to the judge, even that man shall die, and thou shalt put away the evil of Israel. Pretty harsh, isn't it? This is God talking to him. He says, hey, if you won't listen, put him out. And not just out of synagogue, is that right? He says, hey, go ahead. Take care of him. Get rid of him. And all the people shall hear and fear and do no more presumptuously. And folks, I'm going to tell you something. You know, there are some things that we step into today that we do presumptuously. Is that okay? Is that okay to say that? Sometimes we'll step into things and we'll do them presumptuously. And God is not saying those things to us. The fact of the matter is, God wants us to hear. How many of you know we're in a different age than what they are back then? We are in the age of grace. His name is the Holy Ghost. He is speaking to us, and he will speak to us every time whenever something's going amiss in our life. He will begin to speak. Do you know that? Because that's who he is. That's his job. That's what God does. That's what he sent him for, to speak to us when things are going amiss or awry. Is that all right? Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to me. Amen. Hallelujah. How many been in court lately? Criminals. Any criminals in the house? Come on, man. Show me a criminal. Where's my wife? She raised her hand. No, I'm just kidding. Babe, I'm kidding. Hallelujah. Criminals. No, no. Some of you have been in court as a jury duty. Anybody, jury duty in the last year, probably jury duty. Anybody did jury? I did jury duty last year. And I was, you know, we were up on I think it's like the fourth floor. Got chosen, got up there with all folks. Chosen ones, amen? Oh, man, praise God. Yeah, I'm chosen. Sitting up there. And there's this rope going across the aisle there. And there's a sign hanging off of it. And it says, quiet. Courtroom in session. And that's what I want to title this morning, if you would. If you were taking any notes, write this down. Quiet. Quiet. Courtroom in session. Amen? Hallelujah. Quiet! Courtroom is in session. Hallelujah. I'm going to take you into a courtroom that that when Jesus was here, I'm going to take you into a courtroom. And you know what's the beautiful thing about the courtroom when you're a Christian? Not only do you have a good connection with the judge. Come on, everybody say, yeah, come on. I got a connection with the judge. Not only do you got a good connection with the judge, but also that judge is also your defense attorney. Amen? Come on, man. Hallelujah. He is your defense. Praise God. The Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they are safe. Come on. Hallelujah. He's your defense. Hallelujah. So if you will, turn to John chapter 8. Glory to God. Judgment. Shh. Quiet. Courtroom in session. Shh. Quiet. Starting at verse 1, it says this. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again to the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought him a woman taken in adultery. Here comes the prosecutors, amen? And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? Oh, man. I love it, man. Folks, I just love looking at Jesus and watching what he does. Amen. Don't you just love watching Jesus' reactions to folks? Hallelujah. Oh, man. Set her in the midst. Declared the charge against her. But you know what's crazy about this? They didn't care about the woman. They didn't even care whether Jesus was going to make. What they wanted was to catch him in a bad place. They were trying to trap him. They didn't care anything about the law. He really didn't care. All they wanted to do was catch him. We want to kill this guy. We want to make him look like that he's a fool. We want to make him look like a fake. Praise God. This they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted him up himself and said to them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. I love it. Don't you love it? Man, I tell you, I love it. My defense. Here this lady probably doesn't even know him very well. And right, he's coming to her defense. And he says, hey, you without sin, cast the first stone. Come on. And I like it because, you know, the Bible says he was sitting down. I was going to sit on these blocks, but I can't do that. He was sitting down. And when they asked him, he stooped over and started writing on the ground with his finger. And I believe that's a direct connection to when Moses went up into the mountain, and God began to give Moses the law, and he wrote them with his finger and wrote them down. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt have no other God for you. That's what I believe. I believe that's what he was writing. I believe he was writing the law. He said, he who that are without sin, cast the first stone. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. Hear all these rocks falling? Book, 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 book. Guys walking off. See you later, man. I'm going to get into this. There is a good possibility this guy might know something about me. Amen? I better walk off, man. Drop my rock and go. Amen? Praise God. Convicted. They were convicted by their own conscience. And when Jesus had lifted up himself, he saw none but the woman. He said to the woman, Where are those your accusers? Had no man condemned thee? And she said, no man, Lord. Do you, how many of you know that Jesus was the only one that could condemn her? Is that right? But he wasn't there to condemn her. He was there to defend her. He's my defender. He was there to defend her. Woo, come on, man. That's beautiful. Can I tell you that God's always with you? And he's there to defend you. Hallelujah. Defend no man, Lord. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn thee. And then he says this, go. Go. And sin no more. Either Jesus is crazy or he don't know enough about life. He's only 30, 31 years old maybe right now. He don't know about life. But how many, doesn't he know that she can't live a life without sin? Doesn't he know that it's impossible to live a life on the earth without sinning? I'm going to tell you something. Jesus knows that there is a way that man can live on the earth just as God designed him, just as God had made him, his own plan, God's own plan, his own purpose in man, and said, there you go, Adam. Don't eat from that tree. The minute you eat from that tree, you'll die. Don't sin. He told her, don't sin anymore. Do you know what he did to her? You know what that was? That was a divine sentence to her. Don't sin anymore. Okay, I'm going to say that to you. Don't sin anymore. Woo, come on, man. Say, whoa, wait a minute. Yeah, do that. Don't sin anymore. Stop it. That was a divine sentence from God spoken to this lady. Hallelujah. Forgiven, amen? And don't sin anymore. Why don't you take a look at a couple of scriptures? Psalm 17, verse 2. Let's look at this scripture real quick. 17, verse 2. Let my sentence. Is that right? Did he give her a sentence? He said, go, sin no more. And then it says this. Psalm says this. 17, 2 says, let my sentence come forth from your presence, and let my eyes behold the things that are equal. Sometimes I look at that scripture, I say, Lord, it seems like you should... I would have said it the other way. Lord, look at the things that are become... Look at the things... Behold the things that are equal, and then let your sentence come. But David has a way of saying it, is let your sentence come forth from thy presence. You see, even David was waiting for God to speak to him. Everything he went through, he was saying, Lord, speak to me. Give me a sentence. Lord, you're my judge. What's my sentence? Amen? Hallelujah. Look at another scripture. It says Ecclesiastes 8:11. Look at that. It says this, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set to do what? Is that a good scripture? I'm going to tell you. Sometimes because things don't happen to you right now, you think you can keep doing it. Is that right? But the Word of God says, hey, man, it will come to you. You keep doing it. You keep doing it. Something's going to happen. Hallelujah. But I'm going to tell you something. We are in a different world today than when that was written. Do you know that? Thank you. One amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We are in a time of grace. We are in a time of grace. So it says, because a sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. I'm going to tell you something. It is executed speedily today. When you do something wrong, you know it. Is that right? Is that right? Is it right? When you do something wrong, you know it. You feel it. It's there. Let me tell you about Bob. A lot of you know this story about Bob. He's a friend of mine at the mine. His name was Bob Pennington. He was a race car driver. And I love him. I love the brother, but at the end, I love the brother. We worked on the same crew. We just didn't quite, you know, I mean, just never had really this connection, Bob and I. And one morning, somebody had bought some donuts. So I walk into the lunchroom, and I got my hard hat on. And I grab me a donut. All right. Somebody, hey, who bought donuts? And I put a donut. I remember taking a bite out of this donut. And I went over to the table where, I mean, we have these wooden tables that have these long benches on it then at that time. And I went over, and I asked him, Bob, can you scoot over? I wanted to sit down on the end. I suppose that was his place. That was his seat. So when I asked him, I set my hat on the table right in front of him, getting ready to sit down. He grabs my hat and throws it across the room. I look at him, hey, man. So I grabbed his pencil pack. You know those little plastic things that got all your pencils? And I grabbed it and I pitched it across the room. Guys on the other side of the room, hey, what's going on? And next thing, he's got a hold of my pins, and I got a hold of his hands. He's trying to get my pins to throw them, and we're doing this thing, you know, and I don't know what happened to the donut. I know I had a bite out of it, but I don't remember what happened after that. But we're doing this little struggle, and then the supervisor walks in, and I sit down right on the end right next to him. My heart's going 90 miles an hour. Boom, 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 boom. You know what I mean? And I hear this voice. Very nice, Henry. Inside of me. Nice, nice job. Christian man. Yeah. Having this struggle over who knows what. I don't think anybody in the room knew what the heck was going on. I barely knew. And so we got lined out. And I was assigned to run the crane that morning. And the crane is it's about 100 feet in the air. And I got up and I'm talking to the Lord. I said, Lord, I'm sorry. But I'm just saying all this because immediately I heard something. A divine sentence came to me. It says, nice job, bro. Good example, my friend, to all those other guys. Good example. And I'm up in the crane. I'm saying, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And I looked down and had just run the crane out the bridge and looked down, and Bob's walking in the driveway down there. And the Holy Spirit said, go apologize to him. I said, and I knew it was the Holy Spirit. I said, man, okay. So I shut the crane down. And it's kind of fun. You can slide down these stairwells because there's pipes along the sides of them all the way down to the driveway. He was walking where the stairway came out. Stairway come out, and it ended up in the driveway. He was about here, and then he had just passed where I come off the stairs. And I told him, Bob. And he turned around and he goes, come on, man. He was ready. He was ready to beat me into the ground. Come on, man. I said, Bob, man, no. Let me see. Hey, man, I don't know what happened this morning, but I'm sorry. I just got to tell you that. I'm sorry. I said, God spoke to me and said, go apologize with that man. And he's looking at me, he sticks his hand out, he says, done. I apologize to you. It's funny because after that, every time I'd be in the shop and he'd be walking, he'd wave a quarter at me and tell me, Java, Java. He'd buy me a cup of coffee or I'd buy him the next time. And it was just like that. And one day I asked him, Bob, can I talk to you about Jesus? And he goes, one of these days. One of these days, but not today, Henry, not today. I said, Bob, you know, I just want to talk to you about Jesus. Not one of these days. Okay. A couple of years went by, and Bob had gotten sick. He was actually hunting, and his family had to go find him because they were trying to call him, couldn't get a hold of him, so they went up, and his sons found him, and he was sick, very sick in his tent, took him to the hospital, and turns out that Bob had cancer and really sick. And I asked the Lord one day, I said, Lord, hey, I want to go talk to Bob. And so I began to pray and ask him about Bob, and went over to his house, knocked on the door, and his wife said, "Yeah, come on in." And I said, and I when I walked in, he looked at me, and he had been taking cancer treatments. He had a beanie on, and he was, I mean, he looked at me, and he says, I said, "Bob, can we have that conversation?" He says, "Come on in. Let's have that conversation about Jesus." So it was awesome, man. So I got the chance to lead him to the Lord, and some awesome things happened. He did pass away, and later on I was able to do the eulogy in his funeral, that was an honor for me. And my friend Bob was so drugged up at the time when I spoke to him. I didn't know if it had really clicked in, because it was just so easy. You know what I mean? Sometimes it just went so easy. I said, "Bob, do you want to see Jesus?" "I do." "Yeah." He'd say this prayer, said the prayer. I said, "Bob, according to the word of God, you are saved." And he says, "Praise God." Well, he didn't say praise God. He goes, "Oh, thank you, Henry. Thank you for coming over." And then I said, "Lord, did he hear? Did he really, Lord? How many of you have ever done that? Did he really do that, Lord?" You know. And one night I had a dream. And I had been reading in the Old Testament, and there was something about the priest's garments, and they had a light blue undercoat. The linen was light blue. And I read that one day, went on. The next day I came back and I hadn't moved my marker. Read it again. By the time I finished reading, I go, "Hey, I read this yesterday." Happened three times. The guy forgot to move his marker. But there was a reason why. I didn't know then, because I had had a dream, and in the dream, Bob was at the coffee machine, and he was shaking a quarter at me. And he had this blue jumpsuit on, light blue jumpsuit. And I'm looking at him, and he's going, "Java, Henry, Java." And when I got up to the machine, and he's putting a quarter in, and I'm kind of standing on this side, and I asked him, I said, "Hey, Bob, what's with the jumpsuit, man? This isn't a dream. What's with the jumpsuit?" It looked like kind of an orderly, you know, like people that work in a hospital look like an orderly garb, kind of. And he turned and he looked at me, and he just smiled, and that's where I woke up. I go, "What is that?" I said, "Lord, what are you telling me? What are you saying to me?" And I didn't get it. I didn't realize that God was actually answering my question about Bob going to heaven. Until I think it was Dale Earnhardt. Was that Dale Earnhardt that got killed in a car wreck? It was Dale Earnhardt. I was watching the news. I was watching, and they were showing his wife getting into the ambulance, and there were some pit crew guys standing around that ambulance. And one of the guys, for some reason, had this light blue jumpsuit on right before they got into the ambulance and took off. And when I saw that, I felt that quickening of the Holy Spirit. You guys know what I'm talking about? The Holy Spirit just seemed like he just kind of moved over on me. And like, remember I told you that Bob was a race car driver? He really was. And I knew that God was telling me, yeah, he's in. That blue jumpsuit is his significant answer to your question. Yeah, he's in. And I praise God for that. You know what? He made it, and I know it. I know it was real. That salvation, that when he committed his heart to Jesus, it was real. Oh, man. What's that got to do with judgment? You see, we're in a day where God will answer any of our questions. Didn't Jesus tell us that the Holy Spirit would lead us into all truth? I don't know why I'm having trouble with this wire. Didn't the Holy Spirit say that? Didn't Jesus say that the Holy Spirit will lead us into all truth? I'm going to say, tell you folks, you can ask God anything. He might not speak it to you right then, but he will. He'll speak it to you. He'll give you correct way to look at something. He'll give you judgment. Amen. Hallelujah. And then, so I'm going to take you back into John chapter 8. Starting at verse 12, and I love this because Jesus moves right back in. He begins to tell him something. He says this. Then spoke Jesus again to them, saying, "I am the light of the world. He that follows after me He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of light. And then the Pharisees therefore said to him, you bear record of yourself. Your record is not true. In another translation, they're telling him, you're testifying of yourself. Therefore, your testimony is not true. It's like a big courtroom, isn't it? We're still in a courtroom. And then Jesus says this. He says, Jesus answered and said to them, though I bear record of myself, yet my record or my testimony is true. For I know from whence I came and where I am going. But you cannot tell whence I come, neither where I go. And then he says this, you judge after the flesh. I judge no man. Do you see what Jesus is saying? He says, you guys judge after the flesh. I judge no man. I'm going to show you another scripture over in it's chapter 7, verse 24. Can you put that up on the screen real quick? 7:24 says this, judge not according to the appearance. Is that what it says? Judge not according to the appearance. Oh, but I love this. But judge a what kind of judgment? A what kind? Judgment is the line. Righteousness is the plumb. A righteous judgment has to come from God. It's the only place you can get it. That's the only place. Therefore, you've got no business judging unless you're asking God for judgment. God, show it to me. Show me. Let your sentence come forth from thy presence. Hallelujah. Back to 8, verse 16, it says, well, I'm going to read 15 again. It says, you judge after the flesh. I judge no man. And then Jesus says this, and yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bears witness of myself, and the Father bears witness of me. How many of you know that Jesus came to show us how to walk on the earth? How many know that? As our example. Here is an example of how you are to execute judgment in the earth. This is what it is. If Jesus did it, folks, let me just tell you, he's telling you, you can do this. This is something, this is a design he has for us, that we can know and understand true judgment and be able to speak that into the lives of people, not to hurt them, folks. Come on. When we know true judgment, we're not going to be hurting them. We're going to say, hey, this is what God is saying. This is what, check it out. Go find your Bible and look it up and read it. But this is what God is saying. I sense God saying this to me in the name of Jesus. And you speak that to them and give it to them. Amen? Hallelujah. That's how you operate in the judgment that the Holy Spirit is bringing to you. Watch it. Let me show you a couple more scriptures. It says John chapter 5, verse 22. Let's look at that. Hallelujah. John chapter 5. Verse 22 says this, the Father judges no man, but has committed all judgment to who? To the Son. Do you not know that it is the Son of God that dwells in you by His Spirit? Do you know that? He has committed all judgment to the Son. I'm going to read this to you in the NIV. This is what the NIV says. The Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to who? The Son. That's what the NIV says. Here's the Amplified for you in case you're not getting the point. How many are not getting the point yet? Okay. How many are getting the point so far? Yeah, there's a few not getting the point. All right. Amplified says this, even the Father judges no one, for He has given all judgment, the last and the whole business of judging, entirely into the hands of His Son. Isn't that cool? That's where judgment lies. But you're gonna ask me, but why? What do we need to judge for? What good is it in the earth? What do we need it for? You know we need it to help folks. Is that right? But how many know we face a world out there that is not friendly to God or to us? How many know that? Oh, man. There's a whole world of folks out there not friendly to God or to us. I want you to turn to Malachi chapter 3. This is the last set of scriptures I'm going to speak to you. And this, my friend, brothers and sisters, this is a reason why God is saying, I need you to begin to ask me about this. I need you to question me on these things. I need you to be very inquisitive so that you can know and understand what I'm saying to you. I'm going to start at verse 1. He says this, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek, shall suddenly come" where? Into his what? What are we talking about this month? What have we been talking about? We've been talking about building, foundation. We're talking about temples. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come into the temple. Amen? Hallelujah. How many of you that's happened to you? The baptism of the Holy Spirit. God's Holy Spirit has come to live in the temple. Not to be just with you, but also to be in you. Hallelujah. He says, "And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts." Verse 2 says, "But who may abide the day of his coming? Who shall stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap." Does this remind you of John 16, where he comes in to talk to reprove you of your sin and then to talk to you about righteousness? He washes you. Fuller's soap, he cleans you. There's a fire that goes on within you. Verse 3 says, "He shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in" what? Righteousness. Let me just say that. Look up judgment and righteousness. You're going to find that they run into each other a lot in the scriptures. Check it out. Because these two words, righteousness and judgment, work together. Okay? Praise God. Verse 4 says, "Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant to the Lord, as in the days of old, as in the former years." And then verse 5, look at this. He's talking about judgment. "And I will come near to you to judgment." And then he says, this is what he's going to do. See, you might ask me, well, why? Well, let me show you why. He says this in the scriptures. He says, "I will be a swift witness against sorcerers, adulterers, against false swearers, against those that oppress the hireling with his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Lord. For I am the Lord, I change not, therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed." Do you see what he's going to do? He's going to come in and be a swift witness against. Do you hear? Do you see that? Judgment's going to be working and alive in your life. And then when you meet somebody and they come up to you and they begin to tell you lies and stuff about that, you're going to know it. That's the Holy Spirit. How many of you ever heard saying, "Well, I got a check in my spirit"? How many of you ever heard that? That, you know, there's something about that person. You know, I can tell a Jehovah's Witness from anywhere almost. There's something about my spirit. I know that's their Jehovah's Witness. And that's okay, because I'm going after them for the Lord. Amen? But the Holy Spirit comes to be a swift witness against the things that are contrary to God, so that you know them. What do you think would happen if you walk up to a person and all of a sudden God starts to talk to you? He says, "Tell him last night that I saw him when he walked across the yard and picked up that rake and took it to his garage. It wasn't his. Tell him that I saw him." What do you think that would do to somebody? What if the Lord said to you to tell somebody, "Hey, I saw, this is what the Lord said. He saw your secret thoughts in your bedroom last night, and this is what it was." What do you think? Is that possible? Yes. I'm going to tell you something. When the Holy Spirit is operating in your life, because God loves people, God wants to show himself strong on behalf of those that love him, he'll show himself and say, "Look, this is what's going on in your life. This is what God is saying to you. He wants you to repent." Amen? Repent! Hallelujah. Glory to God, man. I'll tell you what God has given us is an incredible tool. An incredible. You know what that? This tool is a person. And his name is the Holy Spirit. And folks, for years we've talked about grace. I'm going to tell you, the Holy Spirit is grace. He's the Spirit of grace. And he comes to change men's minds about the King of the universe. Is that okay? Is that all right? That's what he's here for. And he's here, hallelujah, to lead us and guide us and teach us and instruct us into the things of God. Isn't that cool? Hallelujah. God, when I'm here on the earth, I want to learn as much, God, about who you are and what you are. Hallelujah. Because I think that a lot of us, we might have to be, and when once we get into the kingdom of God, once we get into heaven, we might need to be sitting around learning about, oh, that's what you meant. Oh, that's what you meant. Oh, I get it, God. I want to learn it now. God, show it to me now. Let me see these things now. Hallelujah. So that we can speak life into those around us. Amen. How many of you want to speak life to those around you? How many desire to see God do what he wants to do in the earth? The kingdom of God is on the earth and it's here by through us. Amen. Folks, we don't have any time to be messing around with things that are not of God. How many know that? Got no time for that. God is saying to us, hey, arise. Arise. Let my spirit lead you and guide you into all things. Amen. Arise. Let God be God in your life. Amen. Quit trying to do it on your own. Is that okay? Quit trying to work it out on your own. Say, God, work it out. And sit down and be quiet. Amen. Quiet. Quiet. Courtroom's in session. Let me just say this to you. We're always in court with God. Do you know that? We're always coming to God, and he will speak things to us. He's always trying to give us understanding. Always. So take advantage of that fact. Father, let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for my brothers and my sisters. Lord, I ask you, Lord, that you would continue, Father God, to bring judgment in a way, Father God, hallelujah, that we know it. God, speak to our hearts when we do things wrong. And Lord, lead us and guide us, Lord, into the things that you have for us so that we can speak life to those around us, Father. I thank you for it, God. I know, Father God, that your people, Father God, are the greatest people on the earth. Your people is a nation set among nations, Lord. Hallelujah. It is a nation from the kingdom of God. And God, I thank you, Lord, that these are your people. So I'm asking your blessing upon them, your wisdom, your understanding, to be very strong within them, Lord. I thank you for that, Father. I want to ask you this morning, if there's anybody in the house that's never given their heart to the Lord, hallelujah. I want to make an opportunity for you this morning. If you've never given your heart to the Lord, say these words with me, after me, if you will. And church, help them. So you just pray along with them. But speak these words, dear Lord Jesus, forgive me. I come to you. Wash me. Cleanse me. Make me whole again. I believe that you died for me. That you took my sins and washed them away. And in 3 days you rose. Alive forevermore. I believe that, Jesus. Come into my heart. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you said that prayer, let me just say, and you believed it from your heart, you are saved this morning. God has saved you. Hallelujah. And let me just say this. God wants to take you to a place that you've never been before. And I'm going to say that to everybody in the house. You've never been where God wants you to go. The Word of God says that eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has for his people. So you haven't seen anything yet. Amen. Amen. Let's give God a praise. And hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.